Welcome to the Swim Swim Breakdown. As always, I'm Coleman Hodges coming to you today from Brooklyn, New York. We've got half of Swim Swam's editorial team on the breakdown today. We've got Ben Dornan from Halifax, Nova Scotia. We've got, I said that wrong, didn't I? Nova Scotia, Halifax.
No, Halifax, Nova Scotia. Sorry.
Nailed it. We've got Robert Gibbs coming to us from the Quad Cities in Iowa. And we've got Loretta Race in French 75 Boutique in Kentucky. We've got a full plate to break down today, so let's just get into it. Aussie trials are starting tonight. If you're coming to us from the United States, they start Wednesday morning, local time in Australia. Loretta, you are taking us through this preview of the Australian trials and championships. What are you most looking forward to on this one?
So I am really excited to see some other swimmers step up because it's going to be a unique championships where some of the regulars like Kate Campbell, Bronte Campbell, Emma McKeon, they're not going to be there. So that opens the door for potential newcomers. And who do we mean? So we obviously have the Young Guns post that I submitted that actually kind of identified some of the, you know, 15, 16 year olds. One of them is Flynn Southam on the men's side. I'm really looking for him. He's 16 year old. He kind of reminds me of Kyle Chalmers when I started covering his career, like in 2015. And then also we get Kaylee McEwen is going to be doing the IMs finally. And I'm super excited to see what she's going to throw down. So there's not going to be Campbell. And then, oh yeah, Kyle Chalmers is doing the fly. So we could just see what he's going to do in the 50 and the 100 fly and not the free events.
Yeah, Rita, I wanted to ask you about that. If you think that McKeon is going to swim, first of all, both of the IMs at trials and then both of the IMs at Worlds, if she qualifies, which I think she will qualify if she goes for it. But I feel like last year we saw her enter in at least the 200 IM and then drop it for trials. So I'm just wondering what your thoughts on that are, if you think she's going to go for all four.
Yeah, that's a really good question. She will definitely swim them at trials. I really would be shocked if she did not. I think World Championships, I think she's going to go for it. I think she's kind of going to use it as a test because it's kind of a, I don't want to say like a freebie Worlds, but it's kind of like an inserted Worlds that no one expected. So if she's going to do
Australia,
it.
Especially for Australia,
right? Right. Yeah. So I think now's the time for her to try it.
Yeah, it seems like it's a training meet. I mean, as you said, Kyle Chalmers, who's obviously not going to Worlds, just doing the 50-100 fly, which we're all stoked about. I feel like that's kind of like if Caleb Dressel swam the 50 and 100 breast at our trials, right? It's just kind of those off events that they're good at, but haven't battle tested. And I'm really excited to see who steps up for these relays, which there's been a preview post about and kind of who is going to step up in those stars roles for Australia. What do we think on the men's side in terms of the men's 400 free relay? How much do you think not having Kyle Chalmers will hurt them at Worlds? And do you think they can get on the podium in that relay, especially with other teams missing, namely Russia, you know, won't be there at all?
Yeah. And my Canadian bias is coming in where I'm going to bring up that Canada came fourth in the 4x100 freestyle and kind of looked like they were going to push for a spot on the podium this year. But then what's happened in Canada is that Brent Hayden retired. Yuri Kissel isn't going to Commonwealth Games. We don't know if he's going to Worlds. Marcus Thormeyer isn't racing this summer. And that's three of the four of the people that got, I think, within half a second of Australia. So this all to say that Australia is still probably pretty safely within the top three, especially as you mentioned without Russia there. I think the US and Italy will be the biggest competitors. Italy's looking pretty good for the sprinters. Brazil actually looked pretty strong at their trials, specifically in the sprint freestyles for the men. So maybe they'll challenge for a spot, but I think without Chalmers, you still have pretty deep field in the 100 freestyle in Australia. I think that they'll be on the podium. I don't think that they're gonna top the podium, but I still feel pretty good about them considering that Canada looked like they were the next people to make a move there. And they're not looking good this year in that event.
Yeah. I'm looking at aggregate times right now. And just from how other teams might compare, Australia men definitely have some work to do compared to,
oh my gosh, US, yeah.
Or Britain looks good. Italy looks good. But it seems like they have the most upside, right? I mean, it's a young team. Like you said, Loretta, like Flynn Southam is just 16. We've seen what 16-year-old, 17-year-old Australian men can do.
Yeah, right.
They can just blow up. On the women's side, I'm going to stick with this 400 free relay just because that's kind of the most exciting. And the Australia women were so dominant. We talked about this before, but like, do you think the US women can sneak up, or do you think the Australia women kind of have this one in the bag in terms of they have the depth and they're going to keep the crown in Australia?
For me, I think if there was a time for the US to steal the crown from Australia, I think this would be it, simply because we're not having Kate Campbell, as I mentioned. And at Worlds, we're not going to have Emma McKeon. So those are two heavy hitters that are not going to be there. And though they are dependable, reliable, always going to throw down something significant on relays. So we do have Shayna Jack, or Australia has Shayna Jack, Meg Harris, Milo Callahan. There's several, like you said, but it's still kind of almost even, I would say. So I think, like I said, if the US is on and they put together the right order, I think this could be the possible world championships that they take gold.
I'm really excited to see that, to see that race specifically. And I'm really excited to see all these world champ previews we get at coming out of the Australian trials and championships. So that's Australia trials, which starts tonight, again, for the US tomorrow, Wednesday morning for Australia local time. Moving on to more international competitions, the psych sheets for Mare Nostrum are out. We've got three competitions coming to us from that event series. What stood out the most, or what are you guys excited the most about the upcoming Mare Nostrum series? Loretta, let's start with you.
So for the first time in 3 years, Japan is actually competing at the final two stops. So they're not going to be in Monaco, but they're going to be in Barcelona and Cannes. So that's tremendous. And their coach actually said, hey, we need to get some more international experience outside of our domestic borders. You know, we need to actually clash with some of the people we're going to be, you know, trying to beat at Worlds. So I think I'm excited for Yui Ohashi is going to be there. Katsuo Matsumoto, the world championship medalist in the 200 free, Waka Kabori, a two-time WUGS champion. They're going to be in the mix finally with some Europeans that they typically don't battle on, you know, kind of these one-off meets. So that's, I'm excited about that.
Ben, let's go to you next. Mare Nostrum, what excites you the most?
Yeah, I think what excites me the most is that this Mare Nostrum seems like it's a really prime opportunity for people to use it as a prep for trials, considering that it's in Europe and then you just have to go over to Budapest. I think that maybe less people went to Mare Nostrum last year because last year and in 2019, because maybe the time differences were more of a shift over to Tokyo and South Korea in 2019. And so I think there'll be a lot of people that are trying to get good racing in. And I think that the community has kind of decided, okay, yeah, we're going to Mare Nostrum. We can race each other and then we can have the big race in the summer for anyone who's going to world championships, not that everyone is. And I generally try not to read a lot of comments, but someone on the comments of the Mare Nostrum post made a good point where they said that if they were in charge of, or if they were a coach of an NCAA team and they had a lot of swimmers training right now, why not bring an NCAA team to Mare Nostrum? I think that those meets can have dual purposes, which is one, to prepare for world championships and Commonwealth Games and all of the big meets, but also to serve as a replacement if your swimmers or you aren't going to a big meet like that. Lydia Jacoby is a good example of someone who's taking advantage of that. She didn't make Worlds. And even though she had signed up for Mare Nostrum before, she didn't qualify for Worlds. She now gets this opportunity to race at a high level still this summer. And so, yeah, I just think that it would be cool to see more people use that kind of opportunity to, and this is obviously too late for this year because entries are closed and everything, but I think it would be cool to see more Americans go over there and get that racing opportunity that a lot of people don't get because they don't make senior international teams. And yeah, I just see it as a really good opportunity that people are not maybe always taking advantage of. I don't know how the selection works. If you have to be selected or hit a qualification time, Rita, maybe you can explain that, but I just think that there's, yeah, two opportunities of what you can use Mare Nostrum for. And it would be cool to see more people using it for a racing opportunity when there's nothing else that they have in the summer.
Agreed. And I think that this is the perfect summer for it, as you guys have, you know, touched on. And the University of Texas women are sending a small contingent, which is, again, kind of that perfect example of what you said. They're this summer, I think all they have is nationals at the end of the summer. So it's a good opportunity to get some racing experience abroad. We do have Coleman Stewart, who didn't make the world's team, going as well for the US. And then I'm really excited to see a lot of these sprint 50s, which they have all of the 50s of stroke, again, leading into world champs. I think it's going to be really exciting to see names like Joao Gomez Jr. and Arno Kaminga in the 50 breast. We got Florent Manadou, Bruno Frattis, Michael Andrew, men's 50 free. Sarah Sjostrom, Louise Hansen, I assume they'll be swimming 50 fly and free. Like you said, Lydia Jacoby in the breaststroke, Mona McSherry in the breaststroke. It's like we get to see all these previews of events that we're not totally typically used to or don't have a good read on. And so just like a few months out, I know not all those people will be going to world championships, but for those who are, we kind of get a read, we kind of get our legs back under us of like, oh, okay, yeah, this is what we should be looking for in the 50s that are just like so quick and sometimes hard to gauge of like, who's the front runner in this again? So really looking forward to that. Robert, any thoughts on Mare Nostrum, or should we skip to more US focused topics?
I'll just say the men's 50 free looks like a lot of fun for, I lost my notes here. Ben Proud, Flo, MA, Bruno, lots of fast sprinters. And we tend to see those guys pop off some random big times from time to time. So it wouldn't surprise me if we see some times that end up being faster than what it takes to medal at Worlds at some point over those three stops.
Especially in, yeah, like you said, in those three stops, it's so fun to see the clusters of meets like that where people can actually get kind of a rhythm in their racing and you can see the progression. As Ben mentioned earlier, NCAA teams taking advantage of that. I'm really interested if that will happen with World Cups this fall with the shortened schedule and with two of the three stops being in North America and Toronto and Indy. I'm curious about that, but another conversation for another time. So let's move on. We saw the CIF 2022 CIF Championships. That's essentially the state high school meet for California. We saw a lot of big names perform and a lot of big names who have ties to USC, the meet takes place in, I guess it was in Fresno, but a lot of ties to USC. Justina Kozan, Mackie Hodges were two names that were a part of the 400 free relay that broke the national age group record for 15, 18 girls, and as well as the national high school record. Both USC commits. And then we saw Rex Maurer light it up, who is a new USC head coach. Lee Maurer's son has not made a commitment to college yet. Robert, enlighten me on what this could potentially mean for USC moving forward.
So much pressure. I think it's interesting on a couple different levels there. One, you just never really know, right? But we've seen that USC's recruiting is probably already better for the women than it is for the men right now. And I think it was highlighted at CIF. So, I mean, we saw at UVA, a lot of times it's easier for the woman to make a quick turnaround than it is the men in a team. So I think we kind of get a hint of that there, right? I think under Lee, you'll see USC women improve pretty quickly. They've got some of the big names recruit already. Men is a bigger question. My gut is that if Rex was going to commit to USC, he would have done so already. So I'm not sure that says anything, you know, for them, but I could be wrong there.
I wonder what the dynamic is like, though. I mean, I think from talking to her, she's pretty hands-off, but, you know, I wonder if after the race, she's like, well, here's one tip, you know, or if she's completely like, I'm not his coach, I'm just here to cheer. I that's going to be really interesting moving forward. And speaking of recruiting, we've got our top 20. We just released our top 20 high school girls list for NCAA recruits class of 2023. A few big things stood out. The first of which is that Stanford is nowhere to be found on this list right now, after having a massive class where, Ben, correct me if I'm wrong, five of the top 20 were committed to Stanford in the class of 2022, including numbers 1 and 2, who were Claire Curzon and Charlotte Hook teammates at the Tech Titans in North Carolina.
Yeah.
They are,
and sorry, Lucy Bell, Kayla Wilson, and Sophie Duncan were the other three, just to
okay. add them. So they're nowhere to be found on this list. The three teams that do stand out currently are Virginia, Texas, and Florida. So Robert, I'll start with you again on this one. Of those three teams, which one do you think this bodes best for moving forward right now?
I'm leaning towards Florida. Obviously, Texas has a lot of depth there, but Bella Sims is just such an amazing talent. She's already been to the Olympics. She's going to Worlds this year as well. She has the top time in the class in 6 or 7 different events, and she's supposed to make an immediate NCAA impact. So I think just, you know, she has the kind of talent where I think she puts this class to number one, I think almost by herself. Although, again, Texas, lots of depth, but Florida's right there as well. JJ Rainey, I think I got the right one there. Her back time's dropped like 4 seconds, and she's already at 152 in the 200 back. A few other names there as well, just making some big drops. And I think it's a class that has the top end, but also some depth there as well, where I think Florida, we've seen struggle over the last few years, but this is supposed to help that Florida team turn around pretty quickly under Nesty.
And to give our audience a little bit of context, Florida currently has verbal commitments from number 1, 10, 12, 15, and an honorable mention in Grace Rainey. So their class is already quite loaded. Ben, let's go over to you next. Which class do you think this is best for currently?
I think my pick is Virginia. I think that we can talk about which recruiting class in isolation is the best, but I think that in terms of which is going to work the best with the current class of people that are actually there, I think Virginia over the next 2 years actually looks really good. On the 2023 list, on our list, they have number 3 and number 6 in Kevin Gormson and Tess Howley. And I think Tess Howley was ranked number 2 originally when at the time that she committed. So she's kind of can be a top 2 swimmer. So between her and Gormson, and then Zoe Skirball too, who I think we've seen improving pretty steadily. She was one of those swimmers who swam at wave 1 of the Olympic trials and then made it to the second meet. And she's pretty strong in both breaststroke and freestyle, I think. I'm not sure if someone wants to say what her main focus is, but she's someone that's not within the top 20, but she was kind of one of the honorable mentions. But we saw Tess Howley and Kevin Gormson do pretty well at trials. Gormson was 6th or 7th in the 400 free at a 4:12. And then obviously has the yards time to back her up too. So those are the 2023 entrants. And then you have Claire Tuggle, Carly Novoladin, and Emma Weber all going in, graduating this year, going in next year. So obviously we know Virginia right now, who's there, is good. And then kind of having those two groups of three head there in the next 2 years, I think just is pretty solid reinforcements for their team.
Yeah, it's at 2 of the top 6 seems really solid. I got to go to a practice with Long Island where they both train. And I mean, they were some of the most impressive high school trainers I think I've ever actually watched in person. They were pushing each other constantly. But it was really cool to watch them and having them come in and still get to share a year with Alex, I want to say, and 2 years with Gretchen and their classes. It seems like they'll be good additions. I like how Texas is looking, though. They've got number 5, 7, 9, 3 in the top 10, along with 14 and an honorable mention. I feel like what this class does for Texas is really gives them they're number 2 this year. They were number 3 last year, but this gives them the recruiting class as juniors to be like, hey, really a lot of top level talent want to go here. I think we've seen Texas recruit well in the past, and I think they've gotten good gets, but they haven't gotten that big group that sizable class to say, you know, hey, this is a group thing and a lot of people are hopping on this bandwagon now. I feel like that's what that gives Texas right out of the gate. So I feel like that bodes well for them moving forward. And maybe that could be the difference maker for them from 2-1 in a couple of years down the road. That's our news for the week, at least our long-winded news. And now it's time to play our favorite game on the Swim Swim Breakdown, Sink or Swim. First up today on Sink or Swim, Adam Peaty broke his dumb ankle. I don't even know if he injured himself. He's out of world championships. I'm bitter about it because I wanted to see him 17 Pete in the 50 and 100 breast, but that does mean that we will have new blood as world champion in the 50 and 100 breast. Our current survey on Swim Swim right now is favoring Arno Kaminga to benefit most from absences at these world championships, assumably that of Petey's. Sink or swim, Arno Kaminga takes the mantle from Petey in the 50 and 100 breast at these 2022 world championships. Loretta?
Okay. Because I do not believe he's going to win the 50. I would be absolutely blown away if he does not win the 100. Personally, he is the only guy that's been under 58. I think he's going to do it. I think that's, I actually put forth that hypothesis when Petey said that he wasn't going to do, or he was going to focus on Commonwealth and Europeans as opposed to Worlds. So I thought that already kind of opened the door for Kaminga. The 50, though, I'm kind of thinking it's going to be Martinaggi from Italy. You mentioned, who's it, Joao Gomez Jr. from Brazil. I mean, there's other, the 50, anything can happen. So I don't feel like Arno is as strong in that event. The 100, I personally think is a shoe-in.
Robert?
I'll swim it. He's just been looking too good the last year. And obviously anything can happen. It wouldn't surprise me if Nick Fink somehow manages to pull off a crazy win, but that's just more hopeful. You know, it's just kind of more wishful American thinking on my part. And I think Kaminga's the safe bet there to win both.
I'm just looking at the schedule now, and I'm pretty sure the 100 breast is first. So I think that is making me want to swim it. I will never get used to knowing whether sink or swim is pro or con.
You float or you don't. Like, you okay. Survive or
swim.
You
live or die, man.
Okay, I'm going to say swim because I think I agree with both of you that I think he's going to win the 100 breast. I think that is definitely his better shot. And then I feel like it's easier to win the 50 breast after you've already won the 100 breast. So he's just going to ride that momentum. Would that be his first individual world championship title?
Long course, first for ever. Sure.
Long course, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think I'll swim it. Feel good about Kaminga.
Oh, Ben, I was using the same logic as you. Because the 100 is first, I feel like if he wins the 100, he'll look a lot better going into the 50. But now I'm sinking it. And the logic is because I think he'll focus more on the 200 because it's more of a sure thing. He's so rangy. He can do all three. I'm sure he will do all three, but regardless of schedule, the 100's first. I think he'll get some confidence from that going into the 200. I think with Zach's Double D Cook having whatever he's focusing on, it be it Worlds, Commonwealths. I think Arno will put more energy into that. And so I don't think the 50 will be as much of a focus for him. So I'm sinking it.
But the 50, does the 50 need to be a focus to win it? Like it's
that's a quick what I was gonna race. Say. I think right. South Africa's Cameron Vandenberg needs to come out of retirement and swim the 50. That's what he needs to do. So Cameron, if you're watching,
he's in London. He's close to Petey. He moved to London actually to secretly absorb the Petey energy and mojo.
He's been waiting. This is his moment.
Yes.
God, I would love it. I think it'd be even better if he did it at Commonwealths, right? And surprise him like he has in the past. Right.
I'm here.
So is Petey out of Commonwealths as well?
No. He's going to be at Commonwealths. Okay, yes, going to be at Commonwealths.
He's in the entry list for Mare Nostrum, and I'm curious as to...
He's absolutely not doing that.
I feel like that was the logical response, but I was like, All right. Next up, we saw Joseph Schooling win his fifth consecutive 100 fly at the SEA Games, 52-2. I don't care. That's impressive. Like, that's 52-2 is a solid time. Fifth consecutive win. And it's not like he didn't have competition. Zhang Kua was second at 52-8, who is a very formidable swimmer in his own right. So I'm curious what you guys think. We put up the maybe report. Do we think this is Schooling's last meet? Do we think he's retiring after this? Ben, you're shaking your head. Give it to us.
Yeah, I'm thinking that he retires. I think that it's such a funny conversation every time there's an Olympic champion who maybe like doesn't become an Olympic champion again. And if he never won that medal when he did in 2016, and he was just Singapore's greatest swimmer for almost a decade, no one would really be like, and I'm not saying that this is what we were saying, but people saying, oh, he should retire. Like, oh, why is he still swimming? I think that if you're still going at 52 and you're still the most dependable, one of the most dependable swimmers in your country, like, why not keep going to the Olympics? Why not keep competing? He can make the next team. And so I'm going to think that he retires as long as he's still enjoying it, which it seems like he is. He takes a break when he needs to. I don't know. I think if you can keep going to the Olympics, why not?
He doesn't think he can go to the Olympics. He specifically said has national service. Yeah, he has national service, so he deferred it. Okay,
oh, along right. with Kwok.
Yeah, so they literally have their national service in Singapore and other nations. Like, you have to do this, and so Schooling specifically said, "I don't have the time, essentially, to dedicate what it would take to get to Paris." So he is skipping Worlds, he's skipping Commonwealth, and Asian Games got postponed. So it's kind of like, okay, Paris would kind of be next in a way. And he said he's not doing it. So I'm totally swimming is going to retire. Absolutely. And he's he has millions of dollars to spend.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
I know. Robert.
I'm going to swim it as well. I think he retires after Games. He really just hasn't quite been the same ever since 2016. He's had some success, but not quite the same level, obviously. And, you know, lots of stuff, it seems like, going on between the lines, in between the service and just other family issues. So I think he retires. However, it wouldn't surprise me to see him, you know, come out of retirement 2 or 3 years down the road, maybe once national service is done. He may need to think he's done, like Michael Phelps did after 2012. But it also wouldn't surprise me to see him make a comeback later on down the road.
I'm sinking it. I want the comeback. I want it to happen in 7 months. So that he can make Paris. I want to see it, but it's a long shot, but I'm sinking retirement for now. Next up, we wrote an article about this. We had a swim stats post on it. Since 2018, men have broken more or the same number of world records than women every single year. Sink or swim, that will continue in 2020. Men will break more world records this year than women. Men are already up 1-0 currently.
I'm going to sink. Sorry.
Remember, that means drown.
That means drown. That means it won't happen, which means women will break more world records
this year.
Okay, let's just look through what world records we think could be broken.
Take too long.
We got 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay.
2 minutes and one more question.
Okay, I'm just thinking it.
Robert,
I'm going to swim it. Wrestle a lot. I think we'll see a couple more go down.
I'm swimming it only because the men have so many supersuit records from 2009 that I am willing them to get broken. I'm just sending the vibes. So men, shoot those things down. 200 free, all those. Just make them go away.
I'm going to swim it as well. You have Ryan Murphy. You have Caleb Dressel. You have Hunter Armstrong. You know, like, you have a lot of the guys in these fields who have world records, are close to them. All they need to do is go best times. And the women's side, it's basically like Katie Ledecky, who I don't think will go best times this year. And it's like Sarah Sjostrom. I don't think she's going best times. And then a lot of those other records are like really far out of reach, and for kind of an off year, a down 200 year.
Fly.
It's
even
like
400 IM. Like, no one's going a 426 this year.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think the men will continue the trend this year of breaking more world records.
Okay. You convinced me. swim.
Jumping back on ship. All right. Last question, pure speculation. Patrick Callen entered the NCAA transfer portal. He's said he loves Michigan. He's exploring his options. Not sure if he's going to transfer or not. He was pretty vocal about being pro Michigan when Jake Mitchell, in our comment section, when Jake Mitchell announced his transfer to Florida. 10 seconds, sink or swim. Patrick Callen stays at Michigan.
Swim, go blue.
Red. Robert?
I'm going to sink because like, I think that if he was so pro Michigan a few weeks ago, and then now he's entering the transfer portal, I feel like there must be a reason that he did that, like for that kind of switch up. So I just don't see him going back on it and staying at Michigan. So I'm going to say that he doesn't stay at Michigan, which is sink.
Robert?
They swim, but if he transfers, he goes to Texas.
Ooh, yeah, I'm swimming. Mike Bottom, we know, is now staying at Michigan. I think Patrick Callen will now stay at Michigan as well.